Hey, welcome to the Crosstalk Podcast,
where real people talk about a real God in real life. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Rocker.
I'm Laurie Ann. Come for the laughs, stay for the truth, and leave encouraged to walk closer with Jesus.
I'm content just to look at the sky.
Guys, welcome to the Crosstalk Podcast. I'm Stephanie. I am sitting here solo right now to give you a little update of what's going on. This week, Laurie Ann has been out of town with her hubby, Drew, and Rocker and I were going to be doing a duo podcast tonight. Well, actually, Thursday night, not tonight. Earlier this week, we were going to be doing a duo podcast, and we have had some awful weather here, some record-breaking flooding. It's just been crazy, and so he wasn't able to come over for us to record, and we weren't going to record this week, but the Lord really put it on my heart. What we were originally going to talk about was the mission trip that Laurie Ann and I went on and to Kentucky, and hopefully we still get the chance to share that with y'all, share what God is doing up at the Henderson Settlement in Frakes, Kentucky, and maybe you've already even heard about it at this point. But the Lord put on my heart that so many of us have a hard time studying Scripture, studying the Bible, and I know that's one of the hardest spiritual disciplines for me. You know, I feel like I'm good at being with my Christian community, of going to church. I pray all the time, daily, which I can still be better in my prayer life and listening, letting it be a full-on conversation. But I feel like I'm in nearly constant communication with the Lord. But to just sit down and read the Bible is a discipline that I am steadily trying to grow in. And especially not just using Bible studies to study Scripture, but just going straight to Scripture. Bible studies are beautiful, and I love them, and I love how they guide us, especially if there's a topic we're wanting to do or we're having a hard time understanding the Scripture. I love a Bible study, or a book study in that way, however you want to look at it. But to just take the Bible and go straight to Scripture and let it teach us is very intimidating. And we don't always know where to start. And in this last year, maybe even 2 years, that is a spiritual discipline that I've really been growing in. Still don't have it all figured out at all. But I thought this would be a fun time to bring y'all in on what that looks like for me right now. And if you have no idea how to start studying Scripture, maybe this can help you get your Bible open, just between you and the Lord. And this is going to be a little hard for me because, if I'm honest, I struggle with reading comprehension. I can butcher some pronunciation of words. So when you hear me read through some of this, if there are any challenging names, don't judge my pronunciation, as I'm sure it will be wrong. But it can just be hard to understand. And so over the last year, I've been a part of what we called a D group, and it means discipleship group. Some places call them multiply groups. But in this group, the intent is we are just going back to Scripture, and we are diving deep into Scripture in this, and it's really helped me with this spiritual discipline. We have 5 chapters a week that we're reading, and the intent is that you let Scripture teach you. You let the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, teach you through those Scriptures, and it does in a really cool way, and then you're talking about it within community. And obviously, you know, we go to, as one of my best friends, Kathleen, calls it, she calls it the chat. We go to the chat and to ChatGPT, and we let it give us some background sometimes, and even go into other books, whatever it may be. But we were going straight into Scripture. It's really helped with my discipline, and so that spiritual discipline of reading the Bible. And I thought I would just take y'all along with me on this. Me and Kathleen were in this D group together. There was actually 7 of us in this group. It was, oh, God put this group together. It was a beautiful, beautiful group. And we were together for, I think it was 9 months of studying Scripture. And it takes you through, how do you call it? What are they called when it's the word here? And you, each letter means something. I've forgotten what that's called, but y'all know what I'm talking about. So you have the word hear, like when you hear something, and each letter means something, and that's how you go through the scripture. So I'm going to kind of do that process. So the H means highlight. So we're going to highlight a verse. E means explain. We're going to kind of explain what's going on in that chapter. A means apply. So how does that apply to Christians? I kind of see it more as just applying to Christians in general. And then respond is kind of like, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to respond to this? And when we were on the mission trip last week, we had been done with our D group since maybe mid-May. And Kathleen and I are both just like, we need to be back in the Bible more. Like we had been in the Bible a little bit, but just we had lost the good habit that we had kind of developed in the D group, and how easy it is when you stop a little bit. It's so easy to kind of step away from that habit, unfortunately. And so, you know, I told her, I was like, well, let's just start. Let's keep each other accountable. Let's pick a book of the Bible and let's do this. And so we decided, we were looking, and we had done all New Testament, and in the New Testament, Isaiah is quoted a lot. And so I thought it'd be really cool to read through Isaiah. So I was like, well, why don't we do Isaiah? And let's not pressure ourselves as much. Let's take 2 days to figure out one chapter. let's take 2 days to figure out one chapter and then move on. It'll take us a while. Isaiah's pretty long. But, you know, the point is to understand the scripture and connect with the Lord. And I truly believe he will honor that. And so we have been reading Isaiah. So if you want to join me, we are actually going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 4. Now, so far in Isaiah, I'll give you a little update. If you want to pause and read Isaiah 1 through 3, if you want to just jump in at 4. But I really think 1 through 3 give you a little bit of context of what's going on. Isaiah is a prophet, and he is talking to Jerusalem, Israel, Judah, kind of. He does a little bit of both, of saying what's going on now and what is to come. Obviously, Isaiah being quoted in, there's so much of Isaiah that I feel like if you're reading it, you would think it was the New Testament. Even some of what I may quote here sounds like the New Testament. So when we are in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah is really calling out the people of Jerusalem, of Judah, and just saying things that are wrong. He's saying a vision that he got from the Lord, and it's basically telling them they are nearly like Sodom and Gomorrah that were totally destroyed. It even quotes saying, I'm sick of your burnt offerings. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Kind of calling them out that it wasn't genuine. Their worship, their sacrifices, they weren't coming to the Lord in a genuine way, even to the point in verse 13 of calling it that it was all sinful and false. And that's where I think we have beauty in what is in the New Testament, where it says we should worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So it's kind of the opposite here. And then in 16 and 17, those were kind of my highlight verses for chapter 1. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. So it tells you what to take away and what to bring in. Then we jump to chapter 2, and chapter 2 is more like into the future. I feel like it talks about the future time, what will happen in the future days. Won't talk too much about that, but it ends up a big thing here is how they will be humbled. The people will be humbled. It ends with, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? Which is kind of harsh, but it's just saying the evil of the times. And I feel like we can even say that now. We see there's so much sin in the world now. And that actually leads to chapter 3, which chapter 3 to me goes back into like their current times and the sin that was happening at the time. And basically it's like they were parading it around and proud of this sin. And I see that so much in our world today, in our culture today, of just being proud of the sinful ways. I think we can think of multiple songs where sin is celebrated. And I think chapter 3 really calls that out. I was going to share my highlight verse there, but I highlighted a few of them. Let's see. We do have a positive in it, though. I'm not seeing that one specifically. Oh, here it is. The very look on their faces gives them away. This is verse 9 in chapter 3. They display their sin like the people of Sodom and don't even try to hide it. They are doomed. They have brought destruction upon themselves. Tell the godly that all will be well for them. They will enjoy the rich reward they have earned. But the wicked are doomed, for they will get exactly what they deserve. So verse 10 was really my highlight verse there. Of, with everything else going along or going on, we have hope. And so that's a good story there. So all of that has been happening. It even ends with chapter 3 really talks about a lot of the materialism, material items, and how these things are just going to be taken away. And I really feel like it's just this big metaphor for other things. Not like it specifically talks about a woman in the end and how dressed up a woman can be. And I think there's a lot of symbolism there in not just those things specifically, but in the materialism and just what's going on in the world. So now we get to where I'm actually going to do the Bible study, but I felt like that context was kind of important because we go straight into it and it's not really a new section. So if you're with me and you're wanting to say, okay, how do I study the Bible? This is where I would be going. At this point, studying chapter 4. Chapter 4 is actually a pretty short chapter. It only has 6 verses. So at this point, I've read it already. I usually, read it in a sense. I've listened to chapter 4. I like to listen to it first. That helps me with my pronunciation sometimes. And so it's my first time hearing through it. That's a really cool thing I can do sometimes when I'm heading to work in the mornings. I like to listen to it. Sometimes I forget, but that's a good habit that you can start is listen to it in the morning. You've got it started. You kind of got it in your mind and you're already starting to think back to what you had learned about the previous chapter. And now you're moving into that next one. So I've already listened to it. Now I'll tell y'all as well. One of the things I like to do when I'm studying scripture is I like to read multiple versions. And I feel like it's really up to you. That can be a conviction for you, what version you prefer to read. Or maybe it's just what makes more sense to you. I grew up mostly reading NIV. And a few years back, I was the youth director at our church. And in that time, I found the New Living Translation, NLT, and I have loved that translation ever since. And so at this point, I have read or listened to the NLT version on my phone. And now I will go and I will read the Christian Standard Version in a Bible that I use a lot. But then I will go back again. So I read the Christian Standard Version in a Bible that I have that has all the books of the Bible in it. But then I have another type of Bible that's also New Living Translation. So it's the same version that I will have listened to. But it's in something called the Spiral Bible. And I love this, but it's not the whole Bible. So it has it broken up into 5 or 6 pieces. And so I have to make sure I have the right piece with me. But it has a little bit more space for notes, but it doesn't have like section headings. And so I lose that when I read that version, which is why I like to go to it last. But it's where I tend to make my highlights and make my little notes. So I've listened to chapter 4, and now I'm going to read it. And I'm reading it in the Christian Standard Version. And here is where, since I've already listened to it once, I'm going to try to kind of see if something sticks out to me. And actually, guys, before we start reading, let's pray. Let's pray for the Lord to open our eyes. Father, I pray as we go into reading this scripture, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our eyes to what you want us to get out of this. Father, I pray that in reading this, we would learn something new about you. I pray that if there are any misunderstandings about you, that you would open our eyes to clear those up so we don't have any misconceptions. pray that you would just guide our thoughts, guide my thoughts as I'm talking through this, and just open my heart and eyes to what you want to tell me today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So this one is ending a section that was titled Jerusalem's Women Judge. And again, this was one that had a lot of metaphors in it, but this is where chapter four starts. It says, on that day, seven women will seize one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and provide our own clothing. Just let us bear your name. Take away our disgrace. The next section, Zion's future glory. On that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of Israel's survivors. Whoever remains in Zion and whoever is left in Jerusalem will be called holy. All in Jerusalem, written in the book of life. When the Lord was washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the blood guilt from the heart of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning. Then the Lord will create a cloud of smoke by day and a glowing flame of fire by night over the entire site of Mount Zion and over its assemblies. For there will be a canopy over all the glory. And there will be a shelter for shade from heat by day and a refuge and shelter from storm and rain. So Christian Standard Bible, sometimes the wording of it is a little interesting, which is why sometimes I'll even read New Living Translation and go back to it. The wording of things can be a little different, but it's really powerful. Short chapter, which is interesting. But now what I'm going to do is with that fresh on my mind, and I will say I actually really liked how the New Living Translation on my Bible had that section titled. So we only read one verse, and then the Christian Standard Bible had a title, Zion's Future Glory. Whereas the New Living Translation calls it a promise of restoration. So this moment I'm actually going to pause, and this is what I would also do in my own Bible time. At Christmas this year, I asked for a direct translation from the Hebrew and the Greek. And I'm going to grab that Bible, and I'm going to see if it actually has a title section for that. I don't always pull this out when I do my Bible study, but sometimes I do, and I don't think they do section titles in this one. So I'm curious sometimes of what fits it better. But I am not seeing any section titles here. So that will not, let me confirm that though. But this is what we do, guys. We are just in it studying the Bible. Nope, no section titles in that. So those are kind of created anyway. Okay, so back to the New Living Translation. I'm going to read through the New Living Translation version of chapter, or interpretation of chapter 4. In that day, so few men will be left that seven women will fight for each man, saying, let us all marry you. We will provide our own food and clothing. Only let us take your name so we won't be mocked as old maids. In this, things jump out to me, and so I'm just going to tell y'all what sticks out to me kind of as I think about it. I noticed the use of seven, right? That is a number used often in the Bible. I think of 7, 3, and 40 kind of jump out at me a lot of times when those come up in something, or multiples of those numbers. So I found it interesting that seven was used there. All right, I'm going to continue with verse 2. But in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of all who survive in Israel. All who remain in Zion will be a holy people. Those who survived the destruction of Jerusalem and are recorded among the living. Now, what I noticed here, I'm going to go ahead and say, is I want to say branch of the Lord could potentially even be referring to Jesus there. It doesn't have branch capitalized, but I feel like I had read something once before that said that. But also notice the idea of the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of all who survived in Israel. That makes me think of the fruits of the Spirit. Like, is that kind of a foretelling of that, potentially? But also, whenever I read the Christian Standard Version of verse 3, at the end, and are recorded among the living, I want to say this one said, are written in the book of life. So that kind of has a little more standout meaning in the Christian Standard Bible. That stood out to me a little bit more, written in the book of life, whereas this one said recorded among the living. So that's unique. But continuing in verse 4, the Lord will wash the filth from beautiful Zion and cleanse Jerusalem of its bloodstains and with the hot breath of fiery judgment. Then the Lord will provide shade for Mount Zion and all who assemble there. He will provide a canopy of cloud during the day and smoke and flaming fire at night, covering the glorious land. It will be a shelter from daytime heat and a hiding place from storms and rain. So everything you've heard me do so far, reading, kind of stopping and looking something, little thoughts along the way, those are things that I'm just doing on my own. As I'm reading it, those are kind of my thoughts. And a lot of it being, I don't really understand. there may be a lot of times where I'm just like, I don't really understand where that's getting at. But you can dive into this as much as you want. There's something you don't understand, we can keep looking it up. But if we use the HERE acronym, that was the word I was trying to think of earlier. If we use the HERE acronym with H, where I'm just going to start off with that and say, okay, H, what's going to be my highlight verse? Where am I going to focus in of what stood out to me in this chapter? And I think what stuck out to me, there's a few places. To me, it's interesting, the connection with the fruit of the land. And I really am curious if that's the fruit of the Spirit. And so since I'm spending 2 days on this, I might look into that a little bit deeper on day 2. I might look into that in a little bit more detail. But I think right now what's standing out to me is verse 6, actually. It will be a shelter from daytime heat and a hiding place from storms and rain. So that's my highlight verse. And then explain. So explain kind of what's happening here. And that's honestly really hard to do sometimes. That's where you have to really understand your context. And here, I believe that Isaiah is having a vision more of the future, again, of what's to come, the protection the Lord can bring. It said in verse 2, but in that day, so talking about in the future. So to me, it's kind of a promise. And so in this moment, Isaiah is prophesying a future time and just letting us know that the Lord is there with us. And so in the apply, what I see here is even back in Isaiah's time, we are given a promise that God provides shelter in that hiding place. So like he is there for us. In verse 5, it said that the Lord will provide shade for Mount Zion. And really it's like, and all who assemble there. So it's just, he's providing us protection from whatever comes. A canopy of cloud during the day, smoke and flaming fire at night. So it's just anything to keep you going. And so in the apply, I guess what I would say here is we need to remember that the Lord provides for all times. There's not one time that he's providing more than another. No matter what is going on, and when the sun is shining and everything seems great, or in the darkness, lots going on, whatever it may be, the Lord is providing. We have a shelter and a hiding place. And I even think the daytime heat. So there will be a shelter from daytime heat. So I kind of think of like when that's when everything's going great, even though it's hot, right? Everything is just bright. I don't know. I see more joy in that. In the next line, the hiding place from storms and rain. So storms and rain, I think of that as like just when things aren't going well. You're in the valley. You're struggling, right? There's hardships, whatever it may be. You have that hiding place in the Lord. You can go to him for safety, and he's there and ready to pick you up. And so I think my respond in that would be, for me personally, let's see. I want to remember to run to him in all things. I mean, I feel like we get so much in the rush of the day that we don't take the time to let him be our shelter and our hiding place. But if we keep in mind that He is the provider of that in all things, He is our provider, He is our shelter, He is our safe place, we can go through each day with such peace, with such confidence, without fear, knowing that He is with us. And so I think my response is going to be to remember that I need to remember each day and to start each day with thanking the Lord for being that safe place and reminding myself that He is with me and He is walking before me throughout the whole day. And what a beautiful promise we have from the Lord in that. All right, and that was it. That's using that HEAR acronym, that study in Scripture. Took a little bit of time to tell us the context, but when you dive into one chapter and you can split that over a day. And now I'm excited to see where it goes, because we've kind of been going back and forth of future time and current times with Isaiah's prophesying. So I'm excited to see what chapter 5 brings. But I hope this helps you. I hope this encourages you to get into the Word, because the Spirit of the Lord is working in the Word of God. It is an important spiritual discipline. There is so much we can learn from it. And it's important that we get those ideas from the Lord and not just from what other people are trying to tell us it says. I hope this helps, and I hope this encourages you to connect with the Lord. God bless. Y'all have a great day.
The time is new, is because